Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Theda Scotchpole, who is a professor of government and sociology at Harvard University, a member of the National Academy of Sciences, and the former president of the American Political Science Association. At Harvard, she has served as dean of the Graduate School of Arts and Sciences and as director of the Center for American Political Studies. She's the author of The Tea Party and the Remaking of Republican Conservatism. And her latest research for the Scholar Strategy Network illustrates the impact of Republican obstruction of health care in America. Welcome to Background Briefing, Theda Scotchpole.
Nice to be here.
And the study that you've done for the Scholar Strategy Network, I guess the main context here is that the Republicans at the national level have been obsessed with trying to kill Obamacare. They've had endless laws in the House in a futile effort to stop so-called Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and they have been spectacularly unsuccessful. But what you're pointing out is that they've been very successful at the state level.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to see this as a two-pronged effort on the part of conservative Republicans. At the national level, they keep front and center the idea, which I don't think is true, certainly not while Barack Obama is in the White House, that affordable care could be repealed. But the law, as passed in 2010 and after the Supreme Court approved it, requires each of the 50 states to play a major role in carrying through the expansions of health coverage to millions of uninsured people, particularly lower-income people. And, you know, half the states, almost in every case where Republicans dominate, have refused to expand Medicaid to help more low-income people, working people in most cases, to be covered by Medicaid. And they're dragging their feet in many cases on helping people sign up on exchanges and get subsidies to buy private health insurance plans.
So what is the basic contrast between the 14 states that have expanded Medicaid and the 23 states that have refused to expand Medicaid and also set up the exchanges?
Okay, so I've classified all 50 U.S. states into five different groups, and you're right, the two extreme groups are 14 states that are both running their own exchange marketplaces, like Covered California in California, for example, and are moving ahead willingly and quickly to sign up more low-income people for Medicaid coverage. Those states are showing very rapid progress toward meeting the goals that experts set for covering more uninsured people under affordable care. The opposite extreme are 23 states that I call just say no states. These are states mostly run by Republicans that are not going to expand Medicaid, so they're leaving 5 million people out in the cold with no access to health insurance. And they're also dragging their feet on cooperating with signing people up on the exchange, in this case, the one that the federal government is trying to run for all the different states that didn't take up the job. Now, there are some states in the middle, too, and some of them are more supportive and some of them are less supportive. All of them have been held back on the exchange enrollments, in part because the federal government had too much to do and didn't do a very good job for the first 2 months.
So in terms of the states, and we're very aware of Governor Rick Perry of Texas opting out of Medicaid and calling Obamacare a criminal act, and it's probably no accident that only 14,000 people have signed up in Texas. But is there any other explanation apart from this sort of petty partisan ideology? It feels as though millions of Americans are being denied health care because of petty political spite.
Yeah, I don't think that conservative Republicans, and particularly ones that are trying to run for higher office, like Rick Perry of Texas, would see this as a petty struggle. I think from their point of view, it's a turning point, because You know, they think, well, if millions more Americans figure out that they can get health insurance coverage with the help of the federal government and this Affordable Care Act, which is actually a fairly moderate law, well, that's going to raise questions about the claim that Republican conservatives are putting forward that government can't do anything to help people. So I think in states like Texas, and Texas would really be at the top of the list of what I would call refusenik states, states that aren't just not helping, they're actually obstructing. They're trying to keep people from getting help to sign up for health insurance.
And that would apply to Florida as well, right? The governor down there.
Yes, I would say, though, that Florida's governor has been wobblier. Mm-hmm. He's one of a number of Republican governors around the country that have shown ambivalence, particularly about the money that the federal government wants to give the states to expand Medicaid. Because, after all, we're talking about here millions of dollars. In some cases, I think it goes even more than that, and it's money directly from the federal government that not only helps poor people in their states, it also helps hospitals remain solvent. So a fair number of governors, and Rick Scott of Florida is one of them, have said, well, maybe we can figure out a way to accept the Medicaid money, but Rick Perry is at the top of the list of those who said, no, I don't care. I don't care if it hurts our hospitals. I don't care if it denies coverage to poor people. He presides over a state in which one quarter of the citizens lack health insurance, and he's standing in the door of this law.
Again, I'm speaking with Theda Scotchpole, a professor of government and sociology at Harvard University, a member of the National Academy of Sciences, and the former president of the American Political Science Association at Harvard. She has served as dean of the Graduate School of Arts and Sciences and as director of the Center for American Political Studies, and is the author of The Tea Party and the Remaking of Republican Conservatism. Her latest research for the Scholar Strategy Network illustrates the impact of Republican obstruction on healthcare reform on Americans. Now, over the holidays, Theda, I had we had relatives staying, and there a couple with two 5-year-old twin boys who are both freelancers, and they were literally while I was working. The wife was on the phone with the California Exchange, and it took her a while, but. She went through the steps and did it all online over the phone, and came out with saving about $1,000 a month. I mean, it was amazing. On the one hand, it was frustrating, the process, but on the other hand, the results were so for a young family was remarkable. I mean, so how is that going to translate? Is that happening around the country? That what I witnessed anecdotally?
You know, it is, and I'm optimistic that as time passes, even in states where, unlike California, the authorities are not helping, really, or at least not the top authorities, I'm confident that as the months pass, more and more people will hear about, a cousin or a friend or a neighbor who has finally cut through all of the public nonsense that's out there about the Affordable Care Act and checked out their options and discovered, as most would discover, that it's a very good deal for families of modest means and younger people. And these are the people who in the past haven't been able to get access to health insurance through their employment, or they've had some pre-existing condition or a child with a pre-existing condition and haven't been able to get access to a policy on the individual market at all that they could afford. So this is a huge transformation. It's also a big transformation that will be harder for people to notice for those of us who do have good health insurance through our employers, because if something happens that we become unemployed, we're going to have options that we didn't have in the past, And all insurance companies now have to follow certain kinds of rules, like no limits on lifetime coverage. That mean a lot if someone in your family gets in a severe accident or is diagnosed with cancer.
So what about the invincible young then? Is, I was giving the example of how I've witnessed people saving like $1,000 a month. I mean, an amazing change and getting a much better deal and getting much, much more coverage that they never had before. But on the other hand, because of the rollout, the botched rollout, and I don't know whether the Koch brothers spending all that money on a phony AstroTurf group to encourage young college kids not to sign up, whether or not that worked. Advantage USA or something. I can't remember. Yeah. What about the invincible young? You teach at Harvard, so I mean, I guess those kids at Harvard may not be the most representative sample, but what's the sense of their enthusiasm or lack thereof of signing up?
Well, millions of young people have already now for a couple of years been able to be kept on their parents' health insurance, and that's a big deal in colleges. I mean, my own son was able to stay on our health insurance plan for a couple of years after he graduated from college and before he started law school. So I think that's already known as something that people value. Now, beyond that, it's not so much that the young are invincible. I think the research shows that young people do understand that it's a good idea to have some health insurance coverage. And if they don't understand it, their mother will often tell them so, because after all, if something happens to a 20-year-old, guess who's going to be paying the bills if they're not insured? It's the issue here is that young people tend to put things off. A fair number of people, of young people, checked out the website in the early months, and in the states, particularly where it didn't work perfectly, or where the federal government bungled it for the first couple of months in the states that don't have their own exchanges, I think they found a frustrating experience, and that probably caused a lot of them to lay back. But we saw a surge of enrollments right at the end of the year. I think California has seen a surge of enrollments, and my understanding is that the preliminary California numbers are not too bad about signing up young people, but they are signing up.
Right.
And I think that's going to happen across the country, too. It just may be I'm a college professor, and I can tell you a lot of young people write that paper, between midnight and 6
right.
a.m. on the last day, and I think that's what's going to happen with the sign-ups for Obamacare.
So is there then, given that there are examples and presumably through the grapevine these examples of people really benefiting from the Affordable Care Act trickle down, I don't know how that will happen in the states where the governors have denied the public any access or knowledge of how.
Well, they can't deny. No. I mean, they can't deny them any. They can deny them Medicaid in
right.
those states, but they can't deny people with kind of modest wages or a middle class income who don't have insurance at work. They can't deny those people access to the federally facilitated exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can drag their feet, not advertise very much, tell the insurance department employees that they shouldn't reach out. They can even take steps like Governor Perry has taken in Texas, which I think are really almost pathological, of trying to penalize private groups that want to help people find out about their options.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of those things, I think by the late January, when the federal government issues its next statistics, we'll see that slower but steady progress in signing up people through the exchanges is occurring even in the deepest red states. And the way I think about that as a social scientist is this. You can have all kinds of political propaganda going on. You can have all kinds of things that scare people. Like the idea of death panels, which just aren't true. But bit by bit, as individuals find out it's a good deal for them and tell their friends, tell their neighbors, tell their coworkers, the knowledge will seep through the population. And
well,
more and more people will say, well, maybe I better check this out, because health insurance is really important to people.
Well, Theda Scotchpole, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Okay, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Theda Scotchpole, who's a professor of government and sociology at Harvard University, a member of the National Academy of Sciences, and the former president of the American Political Science Association. At Harvard, she has served as dean of the Graduate School of Arts and Sciences and as director of the Center for American Political Studies. She's the author of The Tea Party and the Remaking of Republican Conservatism, and her latest research for the Scholar Strategy Network illustrates the impact of Republican obstruction on health care on Americans. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time.